It's beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas. So wonderful being with you each time this week and every week here on Bible Home Church as we go right to the Word of God and see what the Lord would have us to study each week as my message. And you know, we're continuing our series today, The Chosen Vessel. And I'll tell you, this is packed with vital information. And we're going to continue this series for several weeks. So, you know, you might want to get out your pencil and your paper because, as always, we quote the Bible quite often. I recall some years ago I did a debate on a radio show with a man who claimed to be the forerunner, sort of the New Age John the Baptist for the coming New Age Messiah. And as we debated, I quoted the Bible quite a bit. And finally, the man, he got so apoplectic and he got so angry and upset at me, he got tongue-tied. And he said, well, you, Mr. Mars, you have no mind of your own. All you can do is quote that Bible. And he claimed I had no intelligence, that I had to go to the Bible to debate him. And, of course, I laughed at that openly right there on the air because... You know, I explained to the, let's just say the gentleman, that why should I use my own intelligence when the one who has the greatest intelligence in the universe and created the universe gave me his word to use. And that was what was really disturbing the man, because he couldn't refute what the Bible said because of the great wisdom that it contained. And that's why we here at Bible Home Church call ourselves the Bible. We call ourselves Home Church because we believe the Bible should be the focal point, the centerpiece of the home. And there's a second meaning in the word home, too, because we believe that church begins in the home. And sometimes it has to end there, too, as far as the local church goes, because so many times today we just can't find a church that's worth its salt. And if you know the Bible, you know what I mean when I say a church not worth its salt. And so that's why many people today are forming in homes across America. And they're founding and starting participating in home churches. You see, it would be better for a man and his wife to have their own church at home, just the two of them, than for them to give aid and comfort and their tithes to an apostate Antichrist church, of which there are tens of thousands throughout America. We've always said if you can find a Bible-believing, a King James Bible-believing church, then more power to you. In fact, more power to God, because that's where you're going to find the power that you need. It's going to come from God's Word taught in that church. But if you can't find a church like that, then start your own church. Now make sure that's what God wants you to do always. I love people that write to me and ask me for advice, and I can tell from their letters they're not going to God. They're just wanting to know what I think. And I don't know if they're pleased or not, but I usually answer with Bible verses. They could have got that themselves if they had just gone to the Bible. Man wrote me recently and said, "Dear Tex, I'd like to know your view. Can a black person marry a white person?" And I suppose this is a big theological issue with some people. And my response was, "Dear friend, a man or a woman should marry exactly the partner that God tells them to marry. Otherwise, you're yoking yourself with someone that God has not approved." And that was the end of my answer. I don't know if the man was pleased or not, but but isn't that so? I love it in the Bible, the Old Testament, where it says, you know, answer a fool according to his folly. A lot of people try to trap me on things like that and other things, and, you know, and they'll want to state one way or another that either I'm either a racist or I'm a lover of the other race. I don't know what they're trying to prove in these kinds of things. But, you know, I am a lover of all races, I have to admit, because there's only two races on earth, really. One of them is God's people. They're the born again people, a peculiar people. And they have the mind of Christ as long as they follow Christ and his commandments. And then there's the other race, the race that is unregenerated, that is from Adam's fall. And everybody is born into that race. And the only real question, my friends, in this life, on this earth, is will you stay in that race, the unregenerated, fallen, Adamic race? Well, of whatever color you are, of whatever ethnic group or nationality, or, and, you know, I go on and on, are you going to stay in that race, in that species, let's just call it? I call it the natural selection. Yes, I guess that would be evolutionary, right? To use that term. You haven't evolved at all. You're still back in the old Adamic race fall. But you see, there is another race, and that is the spiritual renewed man or woman, that they become a new person in Christ. So you really do have a choice. And the Holy Spirit, I believe at one time or another, calls on each of us. And I beg you not to tell the Holy Spirit no, because he may not come again. But again, there are two races. And I've never differentiated on the idea of a Jew or Gentile or German or American or Greek or black or white or Chinese or whatever. There are just two races. So that sort of gets you out of the old racial categories, doesn't it, my friends, right away? Of course, I don't deny that there are white people and black people and yellow people and brown people and so forth. And I suppose God enjoyed making us that way. And who am I to say God made a mistake or that God created one inferior to the other? But I will say this, God made us all different. There are men more intelligent than me. There are men dumber than me. I hope there's some that are dumber than me. Surely there are a few. But I would not call myself one of the more intelligent. And I do thank the Lord, though, that the Bible says that he's not looking for those who are puffed up with worldly knowledge. I don't think that God is going to save every member of Mensa. That's the, you know, the group that you have to have an IQ of 140 or something to join this group of intellects that likes to think they're very brainy and smart. And they may be according to the world. But you know, God isn't going to look at your IQ on judgment day, is he? No, he's not. And I'll tell you something. I'd rather be associated with a man or a woman who has the wisdom of Christ and rejects the knowledge of the world so much more. Those are the kind of people I look for. And, you know, they don't necessarily have even a high school diploma sometimes. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're PhDs and they're brilliant and even in the ways of the world. But they have something very special because they have the wisdom that is in Jesus Christ, given to them by Christ. Well, we're going to continue that series then today on the chosen vessel. You see, I've already talked a little bit about who's chosen and who hasn't been chosen, haven't I? How you can get to be a chosen vessel. But we're going to go into it much more in depth and have a lot of fun with it. And I want to make sure that Bible Home Church is always a lot of fun. A lot of people say, well, I like a more somber, serious church. Well, then go somewhere else, because we like to have fun here. We do. And what is fun? I believe fun is studying the Word of God. What a thrill. What a joy. What an excitement. It is. To me, it is. I hope it is to you, too. That's what we call fun. The world has other ideas. Well, let them have their own ideas. But using the wisdom of Christ, I know what is true fun. Well, we're going to have some fun right now with some music. You know, a lot of people write to me and they say, Tex, I love your theme song, but you don't play it all. You just have those few little bars. Who sings that song? Boy, he's got a beautiful voice. Well, he does. Johnny Ray Watson is his name. He's a good friend of Wanda and I. Or as the I guess the grammarians would be Wanda and me. But in any case, he's a good friend of ours. And boy, he's got a great personality. But he sings, oh my, he sings, you know, as God would talent a person, a gift a person. And I have the album. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to tell you right now, this particular album is not available in the record stores or the Christian bookstores. I've talked to, or I didn't talk to her, but Wanda talked to Johnny Ray's wife recently, and she said Johnny Ray is now seeking a way to get this album reproduced by some publisher and get it into the hands of the record stores. But we're going to start off today, and by the way, each week for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to have Johnny Ray sing one of the songs on this great album. It's Beginning to Rain, okay, and that's the title, of course, of the song that's sang sort of as our theme song. I understand that was written by Brother Gaither, Bill and Gloria Gaither. I believe that was they wrote it, but this is Johnny Ray's singing of it and such, and we're going to have that song first. It's Beginning to Rain. And then next week we're going to have another, then the next week another from Johnny Ray Watson. So for the many of you who have called and written and said, I'd like to hear the whole song, well, this is Johnny Ray Watson, It's Beginning to Rain. Now, following this song, we're going to go right into today's part of our continuing series. I believe it's part two of The Chosen Vessel. First, here is Johnny Ray Watson. It's Beginning to Rain.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees turn their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Beginning to rain.
The young man's eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for they dream their dream. With a thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, feel it. every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
I'm convinced that you cannot understand without this being chosen of Christ Jesus. That's right. I'm going to go right on. You cannot be good in any job that you have. You cannot certainly be an effective politician unless you know Jesus Christ. You can be a cheating, lying, scandalous, traitorous politician like a Bill Clinton, but you can't be a good politician because you're not going to have the love of God, the wisdom of Christ. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, they said. King Solomon of ancient Israel. But he backslid and went away from God and became stupid. Ended up with 900 concubines and I forget how many wives, 1,000, you know, an incredible number. And turning against God and bringing in the worship of the totem poles, the Asherah, and the great goddess of Babylon is really what it was, into the temple of God. He became an idiot. Because he listened to the women around him. Not that women are dumb, no. But these were because they were pagan women. And that's why I always say that a woman of God is virtuous. But more than that, she's wise. She's somebody for men to listen to. Oh boy, I'm going to get some from that, aren't I? That's what it says in Proverbs. I'll read what it says there about a true woman of God. She's not some little namby-pamby person. Now, she's not a horned feminist by any means, believe me. But she's more precious than rubies, the Bible says. And let me tell you something. She's even got a little business sense. She goes out and buys a piece of land on her own. Now, you husbands out there are going to faint. But it's true. Women, pretty, you know, important to God. I always love those stories in the Bible. Remember the woman that put the perfume on Jesus' feet, and they complained about it. And Jesus basically said, shut up. She's doing the right thing. She had more wisdom than they did, I suppose. Well, in any case, I'm not trying to pander to you ladies out there, but I'll tell you something. When I want wisdom and advice, you know, I go to my wife. And I get it. I get good advice. I don't always listen to it sometimes, to my, you know... Well, we're not going to talk about that, but often I do listen to it, and I find it's wonderful sage advice, and she's a very smart woman. And more than that, she's a wise woman, because my wife, Wanda, really believes in Jesus Christ. She's a chosen vessel of God. Let's talk about that today. We're going to talk about the seven characteristics or traits of a chosen vessel. I want you to judge yourself. I'm not going to judge you, but you can judge yourself to see if you're a chosen vessel of God. See if you meet up with these things. See if you understand God's criteria. If you're not a chosen vessel, of course, you can become one. It doesn't count if you're educated or not educated. It doesn't count if you drive a Lexus or a Volkswagen Beetle. It doesn't really matter. Those aren't not the things God is looking for. Job was a chosen vessel of God when he was so rich and had so much prosperity and land. He was a chosen vessel of God when he was a despicable to the world, beggar, full of sores and boils with no money and nothing. sitting on a corner. He was a chosen vessel of God. So you see, your financial circumstances have nothing to do with being a chosen vessel of God. I don't care what the prosperity preachers teach. Job was precious and chosen in God's sight when he was rich and when he was poverty stricken. Both just alike. And he was faithful to God in all things. In both circumstances. So please don't tell me that if you have a lot of prosperity and material things, you're blessed of God. True, you should give thanks to God for everything. Give thanks to God even for the bad things that happen to you. And don't try to tell me that I'm crazy. I'm telling you, that is the way to happiness and blessedness, is to thank God for everything. If I was diagnosed with cancer this morning, I'd say, thank you, Lord. I'd also get on my knees and ask God to heal it. And I'd say, I don't know why you allowed it to happen to me, Lord, but thank you anyway. If you take me from this world, then that's okay with me. If it has to be of cancer, well, that's okay with me. But if it be your will, Lord, I ask that you take this from me, the sickness. There is the proper perspective, whatever God wants to do in your life. I'm not going to accept the cancer, but I'm going to just say, thank you, Lord, anyway. I'm going to go straight forward. And don't ever veer. Set your mind like flint to follow God. Now let's look at the seven traits or characteristics of the chosen vessels of God. First of all, and most important, the chosen vessels of God are made new. They're made new. You come in this world in a way old, full of sin, conceived in sin, stained, dirty. But John 3:3 says you can be born again. Born again. You say, well, what if I just sort of dress myself up? I'll go to 12-step meetings. I'll try to be a good person. Will that do it? I'll do like Mother Teresa. I'll be a good humanitarian. I'll start smiling more. I'll be the world's best friend. That'll change me from an old lump of coal to a diamond, won't it? To use John Anderson, the country singer's words. Well, Jesus said this. He said, you cannot put new wine in old bottles, lest the wineskins burst. My friends, you can't change yourself. Oh, you can do it on the margins. You can be a fringe-changed person. But you cannot transform yourself totally. So many people have. Alcoholics go to 12-step programs without accepting Jesus Christ. I think change a little bit. But they'll probably be falling off the wagon before long. They'll be taking that liquor again because they don't have the power to withstand temptation. But with the Holy Spirit, Christ within, you have the new wine you put on Christ. You know, the guests there at that wedding party, the Bible says, were drinking wine. But they ran out. They ran out of wine. And his mother asked Jesus to help out, and he turned water into wine. And the guest said, well, this wine is better than what we've been drinking up to now. You save the best for last. That's what God does. Your old wine, let me tell you something. He'll save the best for last. You accept Jesus, and you are new wine in new bottle. You're changed. You're transformed. And you will produce fruit, according to Mark 4. Now, the second trait of a chosen vessel of God is that they are few. You're part of a very elite group. You want to join an elite society? Well, this will be it. You won't be a secret society. Everything you do will be out in the open. You don't have to hide anything. It's fun to lay it, go to bed at night and not have to say, oh, are my sins going to be found out? Are they going to find out I have this affair going on? Are they going to find out I'm embezzling money? Are they going to find out that I really have seeds of hate planted in my heart? No, you'll go to bed feeling good at night. You'll sleep better with a clear conscience. Whatever happened in the past happened and is gone. You're a new person. And there's not very many of you. Oh, there appears to be millions. Every time you turn around, people are mentioning Jesus. Every time you see a person walking down the street, a woman, she's got a cross around her neck. Of course, look closely, and it may be the Egyptian Ankh which is the false cross. Even Madonna, the singer, has a cross around her neck. It's just a piece of art. The chosen vessels are few. They've got Christ inside. They've got the cross inside of them. They don't even need it for jewelry. They don't even worry about jewelry. They've got Christ that they've put on. The invisible mark of salvation. Let me tell you something, my friends. I want to tell you three things about the remnant church, the few, the chosen vessels. Number one, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in you hates evil. And that means you're going to hate and despise evil. If you do not hate evil and despise it, you're not in the remnant. You're not a chosen vessel of God. Number two, the remnant church, the chosen vessels, keep the commandments of God. Maybe not perfectly. Maybe we sin sometime, but we have someone who can forgive our sin and blot it out in the name of Christ. And third, the remnant church, the chosen vessels, the few, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they have their own testimony, which of course is of Jesus Christ.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues this fascinating series on the chosen vessel.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.